I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that aloud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of how to not have trash politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast.
Over the course of the pandemic, I've been thinking about and reflecting on the things in my life that have changed, the things that have sustained me, and what I've learned about myself. And I felt this, as you know, an overwhelming panic about what it's felt like to kind of like lose control over my life, or what I perceived was like losing control because there is a pandemic. It would be really great if this was so, like, you know, next week there's no pandemic, but
that'd be nice.
I digress. And I've also felt this overwhelming, I guess, sense of longing, and like I've recognized the significant role that friendships play in my well-being, in my joy, and just in my like existence. Like how I've gotten to this point and survived has been predicated on friendships. And I love friends. Like I love love and babies. So I just think, like, let's talk about friendship today. I'm excited about this conversation. We're back from a little wee bit of a hiatus because I was feeling extremely overwhelmed over the past couple of weeks. And as a great friend, Lala was like, you need to take care of yourself. And so we pushed back this episode. Thank you, Lala, for your kind support.
Of course. You come first.
I love you. Thank you. And, you know, I think I should warn everyone, and I've told you this before, like, I think that I have so many more questions than answers, because by no means do I think that I'm like this friendship guru. Like, I think, well, you know what I mean? Like, I always want to be really careful with how I'm like sharing whatever information I have, like take what's helpful, and like maybe there are questions that you can ask yourself as listeners, you know what I mean? But I know I'm learning so much about myself and peeling back layers of who I am, and I know that naturally that's going to show up in like my relationships and my friendships. So and the way that I, from learning about who I am and all these layers that I have, how I orient myself to people in my life, my relationships, my place in those relationships. So anyways, I'm really hoping that we can talk about friendship with like some curiosity, and I want to say also that naturally when I have felt stuck in the past to pick a BIPOC of the week, I think both of us do this a lot, where it's like, who do we turn to? And I was like, my dear loving elder Bell Hooks, because she has a lot to say about so many, right? Like, I mean, because she, like, her writing all about love and so many pieces on like relation, like how we be in relationship with each other. Coming back to that book so many times in from different perspectives has been so helpful for me. So we're going to pull some delicious bell hooks because Amazing. Obviously like, yes. Duh. So yeah, how are you? How do you feel about this topic and discussing friendship today?
I'm excited. And it's very, we were saying this right before we started, it's very meta, us as friends. Yes. And we also haven't seen each other really. I mean, we haven't like seen each other in person in a horribly long time, but yeah, because of stuff that's been going on. I just haven't like seen you even on FaceTime in a while. So like get to catch up with my friend, talk about friendship. I'm very excited.
Thank you. I you're right. It is very meta. We could just, like I said, we could talk about, you talked about friendship in so many different ways across the 50, this is our 52nd episode, I want to say. Ooh, ooh. But like throughout this entire podcast, we've talked about friendships and relationships and all the things, like, and even when we've had opportunities for the two of us to do like interviews with folks, or, you know, folks ask us questions about creating this podcast together. I mean, it was born out of like just friendship, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm excited for us to talk about friendship in like a meta way. But to start things off, I want to know, what were your ideas about friendship like as a kid? like, where did you learn ideas about what it meant to be a friend?
I don't really know. I mean, I think I struggled a lot socially when I was younger for various reasons. My first couple of years of school, when I lived in Edmonton still, I didn't really think about it, but it came sort of naturally. And then after we moved to Trail, I struggled with it for a long time. But then ended up with like a close group of friends in high school. And then I remember like an early depiction of friendship, that was really influential in my life was Sex and the City. You know, even though, you know, Sex and the City, obviously there's a lot of like just privileged white bullshit.
trapezing through New York City. Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I think that was a really, kind of cultural landmark in the idea of women's friendships as paramount, you know, as those being the actual important relationships in your life. And I also think I learned a lot of lessons through various like episodes and the movie and stuff like that about like what it means to pick your friends first, you know, and like really be there for them and be loyal and all of that kind of thing. So that was like super, it's very like white feminist, but that was very influential for like a young me.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally fair. I think there were tons of, for me, it was definitely media as well. Like what taught me what friendship was. I remember the first time I like came across the Spice Girls, I was like all these people that like, they're all friends and they all have different, like, I just remember thinking about how each of them were really different and how they were all like together. Obviously when you're a kid, you're not thinking about like, yes, somebody probably like curated this girl groups and like, you know, engineered the aesthetic that they're all, you know, adhering to or whatever. But I definitely like watching television, you know, sister, and I also have sisters. I think that was a huge part of it as well. Like there was always this like built-in best friendness of my relationship with my sisters. But that's different, I think, than being friends with people who are not your family, people that no one's forcing you to say sorry to. Because my mom would be like, you made that person, you upset your sister, like, say sorry. Like, sorry. You know, like, that is such a different kind of relationship than the people who you go to school with, let's say. And for me, I remember when I was in the third grade, at the end of the third grade, moving to a Christian school and switching from like public school to Christian school, and like how sad I was to like lose my friends. Like, we were still living in the same neighborhood. I would still probably see them, but like, I was just so sad. I knew what it felt like. Like, I knew that like, this was heartbreak. It felt so real for me. And then, you know, every single, I don't know if this was you at all, but at the end of every single school year, for us anyways, I want to out like all of my friends. We would like cry by the lockers. We're like so sad. We're not going to see each other for like 2 months, you know? And there was like this deep, I don't know, like bond that we shared. And it wasn't like, I look back at it now and I'm like, I don't even know if I really liked all of those people. And, like, I was crying about people that I'm not sure, like, they were really close friends or just people that I spent a lot of time with. And I started like looking back at that. I'm like, oh, I don't think that I had a very evolved, obviously, orientation to what friendships were, because I was like, yeah, I just spent all my time with this person, they're my friend. And it's like, that does not a friend make, you know? So
yeah.
But one of the things that made me kind of want to talk about this with you is from a lot of like previous conversations that you and I have had about sort of like the placement of friendship in our society and how I think it's really incongruent with what many of us experience. Like, for me, I experience friendship in my adult life to be like so instrumental in who I am. But bell hooks talks a lot about, and you've mentioned this to me on this podcast, about how we often place friendships in like a secondary position, you know, especially in relation to romantic bonds. And so bell hooks says this devaluation of friendships creates an emptiness we may not see when we are devoting all our attention to finding someone to love romantically or giving all our attention to a chosen loved one. Committed love relationships are far more likely to become codependent when we cut off all our ties with friends to give these bonds we consider primary our exclusive attention. And I thought about that, like, when I read that, I was like, oh, this has come up before in one of our early episodes on kin, right? Mm-hmm. Like, something that you had mentioned. And And also something that you had told me, maybe it wasn't on the podcast, but in our conversations, like realizing the value of a romantic relationship or a family relationship was superior to a friend relationship, mm-hmm. right? And being taught that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so how do you think these sort of teachings or frameworks of friendship might also be reflections of bigger things, like bigger forces in our society?
What really sprang to mind there was, I think I've heard Kim Tallbear talk on the Media Indigena podcast about how the nuclear family was this sort of imposition of settler colonialism, and that, you know, previous to that, there was very different, you know, kinship structures and relationship structures. And yeah, I think I imagine, I don't know like the exact history of it, but I think it's part of the same thing, you know, the idea that you have this soulmate and that's, you know, the person that you marry and you have like a sexual romantic relationship and you start your family and you have your kids and like that is it. That's what's the most important. And it would be interesting too to figure out exactly where marriage became the like soulmate idea as opposed to just sort of a practical consolidation of wealth and that kind of thing.
Yes.
I think a lot of that is like capitalism and marketing, actually. Yeah. Diamond advertisers.
I'm sure the Van Bluers or whatever that massive diamond company was, when they like orchestrated that like diamonds were like the way to show somebody that you really truly loved them. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So I think that all of this, it all fits together. And I mean, when I think about, if we didn't organize our society that way, I feel like we would have these communities of care, you know, where we'd be able to take care of each other in a very different way. And I imagine that would make us more difficult to subjugate in a lot of ways, you know, like if we had stronger relationships, you know, so that we weren't kind of isolated and desperate.
Yeah, and no, I think you're totally right. It's like, I think of nation building, like that's the role of us, like coupledom. I remember taking a class in an undergrad and we were talking, it was like not family studies, but it was like family studies meets like feminist theory, and it was talking about like the role of like baby making and nation building. And obviously when we get down to it, we're like, we're talking about white baby making and white nation building, especially in settler colonial Canada. But like the purpose of like our, you know, the most, I guess, like prioritized type of relationship being like the romantic one, specifically between two heterosexual people who are able to have a child, like that being like the chef's kiss of all things, and everything else kind of being devalued underneath that.
And also, isn't it funny that on one hand, that like heterosexual coupling is put on this pedestal, and yet straight people's own depictions of themselves, not only through media, but just the way they talk about each other so often, it's like they hate each other. You know, it's like it's old, like the ball and chain.
Exactly. The old bag and like, you know, stuff like that. You're totally right. And it's like,
are the straights okay? Like, what is happening? Maybe they need some friendships outside of each other so that they know what a good relationship looks like.
Yeah. And I think it's funny, like, what I'm hearing you speak to in relation to this conversation about friendships is like these ideas and these tropes that we have about what is supposed to be like. And it's like, that's, you know, the, what I ordered and what I got, very different things, right? Like I didn't expect it to be this way. And I think that for the most part, like for me, when I think about the, like I said, like the role of friendships, like it's been such a central source of love in my life, like a central source of like values alignment and like finding myself and like finding my place. And I don't think that that really aligns with like baby making, nation building, because it's like, oh, you're spending all this time and energy not being solely like invested in making a family. Mm-hmm. That means that I can't extrapolate that beyond being, without sounding maybe conspiratorial about things, but I definitely believe that like there is so much obvious, clear, and even between the two of us, like value in prioritizing our friendships. And something that Bell Hooks says is that friendship is a place in which a great majority of us have our first glimpse of redemptive love and caring community. Learning to love in friendships empowers us in ways that enable us to bring this love to other interactions. And I like that, to me, I was like, ooh, it's like, that's so true. friendships have been the place where I've been able to like understand, like I said, what like getting your heart broken even is. Like before I got my heart broken by any dude, you know what I mean? Like I was like, I got heartbroken by friendships that failed, which we don't really get to talk about very often. Like, you know, what happens at the end of like a lifelong friendship or even if it's a couple of years when it's deep, you know? And I think about the role that friends have in my life and the admiration that I have for like you and so many of my good friends, like how much y'all love me and support me and sustain me and how I'm like, it's so, you all make it so easy for me to do that and give that back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I also feel like, you know, a lot of the messaging that I was given, certainly as a woman, was that basically, you know, that men, like the idea that women are high maintenance and like, you know, you're bothering men with your thoughts and feelings, kind of. And
sorry,
so like
I'm rolling my eyes. Yes, okay.
You know, do you know what I mean though? Like the idea
that
men
are from Mars, women are from Venus,
yeah,
like that type
and that
of
like,
shit.
Oh,
yeah,
women just want to talk all the time and it's so annoying and like leave men alone and like you're always nagging them and you're always like, oh, you're so over emotional and sensitive and like all those kinds of things. Right. And I think it was in friendships that I first experienced, you know, another person who really does care about like every thought that I have or every feeling that I, you know, want to share and wants to like do that work with me to figure out like how can I support you in the way that feels best for you. And I think that has gone a long way to now setting a standard for how I want to be treated, that if I had only ever just been in romantic relationships, that standard wasn't being set there. So,
that's a great point. It helps you kind of recalibrate your, I don't want to say like your worthiness, but sometimes your friends can, and we're going to talk about like friendship being a mirror, but like sometimes your friends can help you see like who you are and like in the best of ways and be like, no, like, you know that your friends would never talk to you like this way. So why would you tolerate that from a romantic partner? So yeah, I totally agree with that. One thing that kind of came to mind as you were talking about how like friends sort of help you understand what to tolerate or like how to, you know, in some forms, like set boundaries for yourself and other places in your life. I wonder how or if your ideas about friendship have changed over time. And like if there are things you used to value in friendships when you were younger that maybe you don't value anymore and like what's replaced those things?
My value hasn't changed, but my ability to execute that has vastly changed. So I kind of think back to fights that I used to have with friends, you know, in late high school or in undergrad or, you know, early adulthood where, I mean, looking back, it's like, oh, we just needed to communicate with each other, you know? It's just like, you know, having hurt feelings but not really knowing how to express that or feeling let down and not knowing how to say that or having certain boundaries but not knowing how to set them and all those kinds of things. And so now, you know, having done a lot of therapy, like, you know, being a therapist now, having friends who have done that kind of work as well, now it's like I feel like we're on expert level of relationship building, you know, and I think that's a strong value for me now. I think there's still room in my life, or there would be if there wasn't a pandemic, there would be room in my life for, you know, people that I maybe just have fun with and maybe like we're not really compatible on that like deeper level. Unfortunately, the pandemic, we've kind of lost a lot of those connections of the person who like loves, you know, the same type of terrible movie that you do and you just go see those movies and talk about that and it doesn't have to get that deep, you know? But in terms of the close friendships, if there's people who aren't doing that kind of work, it's not really gonna work for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think for me, it's been something that you just said, friends that you just do fun things with.
Yeah.
And I guess I was gonna ask, like, do you have that same need now? I used to need that before. I guess I used to like compartmentalize my friends and be like, I have conversations like that are deep with like this person, but like these friends I only like party with. And that was early 20s, Nick. But now I'm like, I need do it all friends. Like I need friends that I can just like do life with, you know what I mean? Like that maybe aren't like gonna go out with me, but like I know how to have a good time with them, in different kinds of ways, if that makes sense.
Or are you talking specifically about me for that one?
Bitch, I'm talking about you, honey. I'm talking about you. Because I'm like, but it's true. It's like, I don't need us to be able to go, like, we've gone to concerts together, but true. Like, I don't need us to like go to shows or do things like that together. I need to, when I'm with you, be able to talk about things that make me happy and joyful and like enjoy being around you, as well as like be able to bring some of the more difficult things and know that if we have conflict, we can work things out. Like you were saying, kind of being on expert level in terms of like being so much better at and well-versed at like understanding your own boundaries now versus then. And one thing that I was thinking of that I used to believe in a lot more, and I'm curious if you did, is like that sort of like ultra loyalty, like ride or die, like sort of thing. I think we're taught about that more so when it comes to like romantic relationships, but also I think we're trained, especially like women and girls, and people who are raised as women and girls are taught that like there are particular like, and I think, you know, boys and men maybe similarly, it's a different kind of output or a different way of kind of embodying it, but with friendships being like, you know, you're my best friend and like you have to just kind of like handle me and all of my like and all of my ways, even if those ways are like toxic, even if those ways are like not necessarily like compatible, you know what I mean? Especially when you're younger and you don't have the language or don't have the skills to be like, no, I don't like that, or like, I don't like it when you do that or talk to me that way. And I think about earlier, like friendships that I've had for a very long time through childhood up until adulthood, like how I've needed to like renegotiate boundaries because we're still in like little girl idea of friendship. And you know what I mean? Like we haven't grown to like expert level boundary setting, da 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 da.
Yeah, I feel like I still have and value a sort of like ride or die loyalty in friendships, but that's earned, which I feel like maybe is, I don't know if that makes it not ride or die anymore. I am not an
what
expert.
Do you mean by
it
that?
May surprise you to learn.
Oh, what? Just kidding.
You know, I have my friends that I love unconditionally, and I'm like, there is nothing that you can do that would make me not be there for you anymore and not love you and like be in this relationship. But that's because I know that these are people that would never be abusive to me. And like, these are people that treat me with respect and things like that. You know what I mean? So I can say like, I know that there's nothing this person is ever going to do that's going to change our relationship for the worse, you know, yeah. But that's because I have such a strong trust in them and I know the person that they are.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like it's unconditional, I feel, in the context of our relationship, but it's not literally unconditional. Like if somehow they like started being abusive towards me or something like that, I mean, my first thing would be like, okay, what's going on? Like, do you have a brain tumor? Like, do you like, why, what's with this like sudden personality change, you know, that exactly. kind of thing. But
yep,
that, so it's like, it's unconditional and yet it's not, or maybe you say unconditional, but that's been earned.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It's like a high standard of like entry.
Yeah.
And then once you're in, you're like, I know that I vetted you, so I know that you're going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know how like a couple of years ago, the falling out that I had with like a previous friend and how hard that was. And I've talked about it many times. I spoke about it like, I think more directly. Oh God, what episode would have that been? I don't even know.
I think the first anti-blackness one, maybe You Can't Sing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right about that. And I was at that point in time, I was like so fucking incensed and so hurt and so like angry, but also I think was doing a lot of like internal sort of asking myself, like, what did I do to deserve this way of being treated? And like also thinking to myself, like, were there things that I should have done better? Like, should I have handled that in a better way? Should I have been more graceful? Should I have been more whatever? But I think, as you were just discussing, like, sort of that high standard and, like, having vetted those friends so you just know that none of them would, like, unless there was something, like, completely going wrong in their life or they had, like you said, a brain tumor, something like that, like, you know that they would never treat you poorly. And, like, kind of going back to how I previously approached having friends that were for specific parts in my life, like friends to do this with. After that incident with that woman, because I had never seen her in the context of her friends.
Right.
I had never seen her with her people in her kind of fullness. And I was the person that wasn't really fitting in with her friend group. I was like, yo, I will never do that. Like, I want to be able to and know in my heart of hearts that I could take you, like you, Lala, and put you in my friends with like two friends over here that you don't know. And you'd be like, yeah, they're quality people. Like, I don't want to ever have to think about whether or not my friends would not get along with each other unless they had some serious shit before I even knew them. You know what I mean? And like, when I look back at some of the decisions that I was making about friendships, it was still based off of the like, we've been friends for so long. And I'm like, that doesn't necessarily equate like aligned values or aligned interests even, or aligned vision for how we want the world to be. And I learned that like a hard way with that woman, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I feel like it especially doesn't for those of us who spent a lot of our lives in white dominated spaces, because, you know, we, that was our default, that was our normal. We thought that was just like the way it is, and you know, we didn't
necessarily
and we were socialized into those cultures, you know. And so I think a lot of us, we had these friendships with those kinds of people. And then, you know, if we've grown in order to like have not only our experiences as BIPOC, but the lens to understand those experiences, you know, in anti-oppressive terms, then the chances are, I mean, you know, there's exceptions. I think we both have still friends that we've been friends with for, you know, that long, you know, white friends that really have also grown and have been able to continue to be really good friends to us. But I think, I mean, at least in my life, that's certainly the exception. Like, I have one really from when I was growing up.
I have, like one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one. And it's not like, even in that friendship, my really good friend, Mary, we've like, they've been like lots of times where we've taken time apart because there's been hurt. Like, there's been so many, there's been moments where we've had to spend like years apart from each other and then come back to each other. And then there's like a reestablishing of boundaries after that. There is like a real ability to like hold space for what the other person has gone through and respect each other in that way. And so I guess I want to move into like thinking about and discussing the sort of blessings of friendship, especially in adulthood. And you touched on a bit of that before, the values and the quality of people that you know would not subject you to abuse or anything like that. And I guess for me, friendships play such a big role because they've been the space where I can test out how to be my full self. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the dipping your toes into like, okay, if I can like be my full self with like two people and they think I'm cool and like they vibe with me and they like affirm me, then that like lets me know that I'm okay to keep doing that with other people. And it feels like it's like this, I don't know. Yeah. The freedom that I have been able to access through being in friendship, like in real. And I would say too, that I used to toss around the word friend, like, this is my friend, this is my friend, so easily as an extrovert. And one time Nolan was like, is that your friend or that your acquaintance? And I'm like, oh, acquaintance feels mean though. And he's like, but it's a thing, it's a person that you like, you don't have an ongoing relationship with. And I was like, yeah, when I think about who is actually in my friend circle, it's like a handful of people who will pick up the phone when I call them and I can tell them anything and they will hold that space for me and let me be my full self, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a huge thing, that space to be yourself, which, you know, as we've talked about in our friendship and why we started this podcast, it's like that space that allows you to then grow into, you know, the biggest version of yourself. Cause it's like, you take that first step and then you can take another one and you can take another one. Yeah. And I think those are the kinds of friendships too, that really support you through anything, you know, because you don't have to be in a fake, you know, positive space. You don't have to be fun all the time. You don't have to be likable all the time necessarily.
Right.
You don't have to just have like the shiny, happy, pretty parts of yourself. You know, you can like talk to them about shame. You know, you can talk to them about like the horrible things that have happened to you or are happening to you, or the things that you're really scared of right now. And they can hold space for that. Like, that is so precious. And I mean, I think it's for good reason that we don't have too many of those people in our lives, right? Because it's quite rare, I think, to find people that you can trust enough, you know, and who are willing to go to those places with you.
And like one of the things, as you were just talking, like having people that you can come to when you've done something fucked up, like when you've done harm, and knowing that your friends will like always want to hold you accountable, but they'll do it in ways that are loving. They'll do it in ways that are going to like affirm your own humanity. I think that is, as you were talking about, like bringing, you know, the messy kind of uncute shit to your friends, and, you know, not feeling, you might feel ashamed, but having friends to let you know that what you should feel is guilty and not ashamed, and helping kind of move you through that guilt together. Like we just talked about in like our previous episode about guilt, is like transforming that and like that sort of space where you're able to always come back to each other, even if things have happened, you know. And I guess in some ways I do believe in like the, it's kind of like you, like, I don't necessarily believe 100% in ride or die-ishness, but I think that there's an important place for that, like you were talking about, unconditional love and this trust and this knowing that everybody is on the same page when it comes to like how we're going to treat each other as a bare minimum. You know what I mean? And that friends that are like now in my life, my friends all want what's best for me. Like my friends are all like invested in my growth. Like they're not just like, you're changing. I mean, you know, when people say that type of shit where they're like, you seem different. And it's like, oh, you just want me to be like the same gossipy. Cause I was, that was me. That's a part of me. You know what I'm saying? Gossipy, you know, petty, like potentially catty kind of person. Cause it's fun. It's fun to be that person sometimes. But when you don't want to be that person anymore and you're just like, hey, actually I want to move past this kind of phase in my life, or I want to move beyond talking about people to talk about like things and ideas and how I want to be in the world, I think inevitably a lot of us end up losing people who are invested in who we are but not interested in like who we can be. And
totally,
because it forces them to be like, oh, who am I then? Like, what does that mean about me?
Yeah, well, you know? And I think that there's a bit of a selflessness that has to come into it, you know, because if it's like I stopped drinking and maybe like that was really fun for people, you know, that we could go out for drinks together, and now like they don't have, you know, that with me anymore. It's like that sucks, you know, for them. But then it's like if they love you enough to like care about why, you know, in my case, it was like it was just alcohol makes me feel really sick. For others, you know, it's like addiction issues or things like that. But I think a lot of people who do quit drinking or who do quit partying or who quit using drugs, there is a lot of loss, because there's a lot of people that, you know, just don't care enough, or who don't put your well-being above their preference.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think at the end of the day, while it's hurtful to find that out, like it's obviously a big loss when you're like, oh, you don't want to be my friend anymore because I can't be the person that you need me to be for you. Mm-hmm. I find, well, always retrospectively, vision is 20/20 or whatever people say, but like retrospectively looking back at that shit, you're like, this person, you know, people talk about there are friends in your life for like a reason and for a season. Like that whole
reason, season, or lifetime.
There we go. You know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And I try to teach tell myself that if I've lost a friend because we've grown apart or because there was something that was like incongruent, like there was an incompatibility, like in this case with you stopping drinking because it's like making you unwell, that person wasn't meant to like be there for the rest of the way. Like they've taken you to this point in time. And I also want to honor that, like, it's also really hurtful and it's also really shitty to lose friends. Like I've lost friends before or have like learned lessons about people and about myself in friendships that I've been like, wow, that makes me have to make a decision that like scares the shit out of me. Like I have to choose whether or not I want to like still be in relationship with this person because I'm learning about your values and I don't like what I'm learning, you know?
Yeah. And that can be a really painful loss. And I also want to say though, that as we get older, I think often, you know, there is room for different types of friendships, you know? So like somebody who was my best friend at the end of high school, and then we really went in different directions and our lives are very, very different now. I think there's a lot of ways in which I don't know how different our like core values are, but certainly our worldviews are. And that makes, you know, what that looks like in practice, you know, very different. Yep. And so, you know, in large part, like, I'm not trying to be her best friend anymore because I think we would make each other pretty miserable if we really tried to do that. But then like once every few years, we catch up. And, you know, I think like, again, as you get older, life is busy and life is, it's short, but it's also long. And I think there can be room for like people that you're really not compatible with. And maybe that have hurt you a lot, but maybe you also do have some kind of deep love or care for them. There is room for like a once in a decade catch up. And it's kind of nice, you know?
That's a really good point. I have a question for you because I like to ask you're too young trifling to know. Okay. Questions. No, what?
I'm just kidding. What? I'm just kidding.
You fucking would. Now you get a question. Do you believe in no new friends? Are you a no new friends kind of person? No. Are you like the door is open, become my friend?
I mean, I'm an introvert and I'm like kind of weirdly shy. So I wouldn't say like.
Do you say weirdly shy?
Yeah, because like I don't think people would expect me to be shy if they see me in certain contexts, but then
it's
I am.
It's very confusing.
Yes, exactly. So like, you know, I don't know how like open the door is in practice all of the time. You know, sometimes it's a lot easier if an extrovert finds me and adopts me. That is often how like my newer, you know, my friend Andrea, like that's how a lot of like my newer, I guess I'm getting old though, because I'm like, I've been friends with Andrea for a decade. Time flies.
she want to tell me that I'm like too young. This lady is too old. She's forgetting true. Time.
But no, I actually, I've made new friends and new close friends in even the last couple years. I think there's always room to meet people that you really click with. I think it does get harder, especially as you get older. You don't have as many kind of occasions to meet new people, especially unless, you know, you're an extrovert or like a certain type of sociable. But I think it makes sense to me to always be open. And like some of my best friends are like relatively new, and I was good for friends before. Like I wasn't hurting for, you know, close friends and support or anything, but, you know, was still able to find really, really precious relationships. So yeah, I'm always open. And as an extrovert, I have to assume that you're always open for.
Maybe I'm open. Yeah. I'm very open. Yeah. I think like you, I have made so many, I want to say like 80% of my very close friends are people that I've met in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and they're the people who I trust the most, the people that I've shared the most with, the people that I can be my fullest self with. Whereas there are people that I've known for 20 years that like ask me questions and I'm like, how do you not know this about me? Like, how would you like the fact that you don't know this about me is kind of like, it's not insulting. I'm more just like, wow. Like it just goes to show you that sometimes time isn't the thing. And I think for a lot of us, we end up holding onto relationships because of time. And it's like, I'm not saying I'm the kind of person that's like, burn the bridge, but I regularly have to do like a, this sounds terrible, an inventory check, or just like making sure that if I value friendships, I'm actually able to show up for those people. And as I'm taking that, like taking stock of that for myself, asking myself like, am I still considering this person to be like a really close person in my life? Like, do I still, you know, want to make time and put in the amount of effort that I have historically put into that friendship? And like, and what would the reasons be? Like, I don't ask myself like it's a rubric, but I'm just conscious of, like you were saying, there's only so many finite like hours in the day and time goes fast and like the world is busy. And I want to be able to show up for my friends as best as I can. And I always end up feeling really guilty when I can't do that. So try to like manage my own expectations of myself by being really clear on like, who are the people that I really want to invest in, you know?
Yeah. And I also think, I mean, I think that our culture is so, this is part of our kind of obsession with immortality is you know, and our obsession with youth, you know, is the idea that like everything is supposed to be amazing forever. And I think we don't honor transition. We don't honor loss. We don't honor endings. And I think part of honoring a relationship is noticing when it's changing and when, you know, there is a transition happening and maybe there is an ending that's needed. And I think a lot of times some of our most painful moments of relationships or some of the most painful endings and hurts come from when we're holding on to something too long, you know, and if we weren't trying to force something to work that's not working anymore, we could have let it go. Like, how many people end up hating each other because they didn't break up when they should have broken up, you know?
Totally. It got sour.
Yeah.
It's like the thing turned, the thing spoiled. It was like, you know, it was good until it wasn't. And then you have to be like, oh shit, we should have cut the losses like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 2 years ago, whatever. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think noticing when the relationship is changing and accepting that that's also a valid form of relationship. Like you were saying before, something that I'm trying to practice in my own and certain relationships for myself, that like, just because it's changed doesn't mean I have to like cut the legs off of it and be like, it's done. Mm-hmm. It's over. It's like, no, like there might be some things that still are valuable. And like, there might be, like you were saying, opportunities to do that hangout every couple of years, if even that, you know, and embracing that as a truth shows growth, because I certainly was the kind of person who, if I hadn't heard from somebody in a long time, I'd be like, they're mad at me. Like, I'd make this narrative about like what was happening in the friendship. And now I think because I realize that I also like my own space, I'm able to show up and give so much more grace to my friends who are like doing their own fucking thing and like don't have the time to always be like, hey, Nick, how are you? And I've also noticed, and we spoke about this a little bit before, about how like friendship can also serve as like a mirror for us and show us things about ourselves, right? And one thing that I have learned in friendship is that sometimes we need to model the stuff that we want to receive. Like, we have to like, okay, I want like honesty and transparency. I'm going to show this person that I am embodying honesty and transparency in the hopes that they can reciprocate it with me. Mm-hmm. And I practiced that a few times, and like the results have been really incredible. I can just attest to that myself. It's just like, I've been told by friends in the times that I have expressed like, hey, this is how I need you to show up for me. They've been like, thank you for modeling that and like giving me the opportunity to know you more and for creating that space for me to do that same thing. Like, you just gave me permission. Asking ourselves a question of like, what am I offering in this friendship has been another thing too. Like, how am I showing up? As opposed to being like, this person isn't being my friend in the way that I want them to. It's like, well, how am I doing that? You know? Because I think I just had like some, that feeling of like, are my friends really my friends? Like, do they really like me? Or like, you know, just like this weird, I don't know, orientation to relationship and feeling maybe unworthy of it. And having to stop myself now as an adult and just be like, my friends are here by choice. Like, this isn't because of like, we're going to school together. This isn't because we spend so much time together. It's like, this is intentional. So how can I show up in ways that are like meaningful?
Totally. I also want to say though, another way that I think friendships act as a mirror that can be really valuable is in conflict. And I know that it can be really scary to be in conflict with people. And I'm a pretty like low conflict person. So it definitely doesn't happen in most of my relationships, like actual conflict. There's room for like honesty and, you know, working through things. But I have one friendship in particular where we have had multiple conflicts. And I've honestly learned so much about myself through that, because, you know, this person, they told me that like there's a certain way that I can be that feels really cold to them, and that they find that like very triggering. And for me, like, I was always just taught, you know, that you have to be polite no matter what. And so I think I didn't know that I was doing that. I thought I was just being, you know, polite and like, you know, like nice no matter what.
Right.
But it made me have to confront in myself that like, when I'm feeling something and maybe I don't even realize I'm feeling it, and I'm certainly not saying I'm feeling it, but it's felt by the person that I'm in a relationship with, which has really pushed me to be more honest and be more in touch with my anger so that when something is happening for me, I can actually communicate about it and not kind of go to this like place that can be felt as like very cold and sort of like hardened. And like, that's just one example, but I think it's so valuable to be able to learn from someone who really does love you and like has, you know, your best interests at heart. Like, yeah. What are the things yeah. you do that can hurt, that are potentially hurting the people around you without you even realizing it?
I really love that. That's a great, I think a lot of the times we're taught that conflict equals violence, and it's like, no, it can also be this generative thing, especially in relationships with people that we have like love and trust and safety with. If conflict happens, it can be an opportunity for us to like see how we are not showing up in ways that actually align with what we want to be like and mm-hmm. how we want to, you know, engage with people that we love. And so I really appreciate you mentioning that, because I definitely, like, looking back at the ways in which I've engaged in conflict with friends in the past, it's either been like hostile or it's been passive aggressive. And it's like, there's surely something in between, yes. especially as we get more clear about our own values, right? And our own boundaries. I think then it becomes so much more obvious about like the ways in which we shouldn't really be navigating relationships or conflict. If it's like, I actually value closeness and like humility. And like, mm-hmm. even if somebody's fucked up, I want them to like feel like they can tell me that. So then like, why would I be on like this guilt trip with somebody who's clearly, you know, clearly feels bad about something. So I think that's a really good point. I want to close, but I have a last question for you, because I said we have a lot more questions than answers, but you have full of lots of answers, like, as per usual. I guess my last question for you is, what have you learned about friendship during COVID? Big inhale.
Whoa. I don't know. I mean, I think there isn't too much that surprised me. Like, I think that the people who were my closest people before, that I knew our relationship could last through anything and that they, you know, would be there for me no matter what, you know, that has not surprised me. Those are the people that I've still been close with and have managed to, like, you know, it's not ideal, but we managed to like keep our connection, and I don't think much has changed. But I do think I'm feeling the loss of those like secondary friendships, you know, like the people who aren't necessarily my best friends, but are people that I enjoy, that I, you know, do have relationships with, that I can have fun with, or maybe we have like our, you know, bi-monthly tea date or something like that. I miss that. And I think I miss that more than I realized I would, because I think being such an introvert and having such close friends, I don't think I maybe fully appreciated the value of those in my life. Yeah,
how about you? That's a really good point. I think what I've learned the most is, I mean, I kind of already knew what a big role friendship had in my life, but I guess I didn't know how much I was going to like need or like rely on my friends to get me through this moment. I've learned a lot about my like romantic relationship and like being in partnership with Nolan, and I'm really humbled by how we've been able to like support each other, and like we've become closer over the course of the pandemic, which isn't the case for a lot of folks, you know, who are in partnership and in like romantic relationship. But I just kind of thought that I would miss my friends because I like them and I love them, and it's like just so simple. But it was really learning that I miss being in people's presence, that I miss being able to annoy my friends, like being able to like do the mundane shit, being able to, and I guess also like the, like being able to hug people and touch people, yeah. and like be like the closeness that I, you know, I'm an extroverted person. I would say that I'm mostly cuddly with my family, but like just the reality that I haven't been able to hug any of you for so long, I'm like, y'all can't tell me that there's no romance between me and my friends. Like, I really, like, there's a deep longing to, like, cuddle with my people and to, like, spend quality time together and be close with one another. And so, yeah, I thought that I was going to miss my friends, and obviously I did, but I didn't think I was going to need their physical presence as much as I did or do. And I guess I just didn't, I don't know, like, you had just said, like, you know, before the pandemic, I knew my friends, and nothing's really surprised me because everyone still kind of, like, weathered the storm with me kind of thing. But I'm, like, really humbled, I think, mm-hmm. by, like, the fact that people are still my friends. Like, I think that became really evident around my birthday when I was like, hey, I need y'all to show up for me in, like, this particular way. This is how my birthday makes me feel. It makes me feel really fucked up. And to have people who I love so much explicitly reciprocate that love so tangibly and so, like, unreservedly, I was like, whoa. Oh, I was overwhelmed. Like, I kind of felt like, this is going to be a roll of the dice, and, like, we'll see. I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with me. But, like, but I certainly was just, like, humbled by that. And so I think just realizing kind of something that we've talked about, that your friends love you as much as you love them. I was like, what? Y'all are real? You really like me? So yeah that's something.
I think that's a lesson we just have to keep learning. Maybe one day we'll just, like, know how loved we are and we won't, like, doubt ourselves, but I don't know. Not yet.
Until then.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community, and we cannot do this without you.